it's not a Boondoggle beer because I haven't been able to find where that is yet. But I posted that up, the Boondoggle beer. I thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, heck yeah. But the Sweetwater Tackle Box will be joining me on the trip south tomorrow. Good evening. It's Kayak Fishing Radio, and it is Thursday evening, 8 o'clock. It's time for me, Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, and we are going to chat a little bit about kayak fishing. And we got a trip coming up this weekend, a little pre-boondoggle fishing, a little spring training to get us in the water and get us get our eyeballs calibrated to those tail and reds and stuff. So, joining me here on Buzzards Row is Mr. Bill Haywood, or Howard Haywood. Hey, Bill, how are you tonight?
What's up? Sounds like you've already been hitting those boondoggle beers, man. What's up?
No, man, it squares me away, man. I'm kind of tired. Atlanta traffic, you know what I'm talking about? Bad weather.
Oh, yeah.
Just stupidity.
I've been in it.
Yeah, man.
I know what you're dealing with.
So, yeah, I get tired of that. But, and then we also have the man with the golden voice, Mr. Becker.
Good evening, one and all.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well, thank you. And
yeah?
Aside from, I haven't had to put up with Atlanta traffic for at least the past 2 days, so that's a good thing.
You're a lucky man, lucky man. So,
although I must say I'm having a serious need to go fishing, dude.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. You know how we're going to make that happen?
I absolutely do.
Yep, we're going to do it this weekend. We are Bill and Greg, along with a couple others. We're going to meet at Beacon 42, just north of Hollover Canal on the Mosquito Lagoon. First light. Actually, I'd like to be in the water because this time of year, they kind of get a little fog out there on the water. As soon as that light comes up, gives you a nice contrast. Take a look out there and see those fish pushing water across the flats. It's really sharp. So who do we got calling in here? Holy cow. The Bad Bat Cast. Hey, Rob, how are you, man?
Dude. Good, how are you?
Haven't heard hide nor hair of you. I thought you went to the islands for a while or something, man.
I'm kind of on vacation a little bit. But
yeah, doing that sabbatical thing? You got a long beard and scruffy hair and all that kind of stuff?
No, not the scruffy hair, but I do have the long beard.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome. Well, it's good to hear from you, man. Good to hear.
Yeah, how you doing? I tried to make it over to the lagoon this weekend, but not going to happen. All of my friends are wimps, and
your bicycle won't make it.
No, and my buddy Keith, quote, and I'm quoting here, he's my good friend and my fishing partner and everything, but that's too far to go fishing, he says.
What? So, I'm coming from Atlanta, dude.
That's what I told him.
I got a 7-hour drive.
No, but I was going to come over, for Saturday. Today's my Friday, so I was going to come over Saturday and meet up with you guys, but... No, I can't get anybody interested to go.
Bummer.
That's cool.
Dude. But we'll see. You're going to be there, Boondoggle, right?
Absolutely.
And we'll get into that in a second. Let me say hey to long time no here. It is. Hey, Dee.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I got out of the boring meeting, so I'm here.
Oh, come on now. You should have just called in from the meeting. We could have enjoyed
it. Oh, no. You guys would have fell asleep right away.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do more anymore. I was on phone conferences today for a total of about 4.5 hours. So.
Wow.
Yeah. You can't play, they don't put solitaire on the computers anymore, so.
That would have been great.
Yeah. So.
Well, anyway. These guys play that, numbers game?
The little 3x3 square Sudoku, yeah.
Sudoku, all these folks come in there and they got their pads. It looks like they're writing notes and they're just trying to calculate out the number.
We're doing statistics is what we're doing here.
Right.
Yeah, right. So, well, good that you could join us tonight. So,
yeah.
How's it looking for the weekend?
It's looking pretty windy. I hope you guys have a great time.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at it, and it's not saying it's going to get any more than 10 mile an hour on my thing, on my screen.
Well, it may have changed since I looked at it last. But
it's changed
it
like four
ten,
or five times this week.
I know. My last report was 10 to 15, gusting to 25, but it's still doable. So.
Yeah, there's plenty of places to hide there.
Sure.
Did you do any fishing this week?
I did. I did a lot of fishing, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And as always, and I was in some major fish porn. I don't know if people saw my posts, but trout were just on every flat. You could see schooling in hundreds. All you got to do is if you see those trout underneath you, and we're talking only half a foot to a foot of water flats, and you'll find the flat of trout sitting on those flats, sunning themselves in a specific direction. They all point, waiting for food to come to them. So if you can get around them and cast, you know, behind their asses, in front of their face, and bring it over real, real slow, you will catch trout after trout after trout after trout. Even if you spook them out, they're only going to move another 20 feet in front of you or behind you and come around. Cast again. You'll have a great time. Topwater plugs have been fantastic as well. But then if you're going into deeper water, that's where you find the bigger reds and black drum. So have fun.
What are the drums?
They're going to want to probably have something like a crab. I tried a gulp crab, but I think my gulp crabs are a little bit old, so they might not have liked that smell. Get yourself a fresh pack of 2-inchers or a DOA crab, big size, and when you cast and you see those drum, cast a couple feet past them, just like you would redfish, and just super duper slow, kind of move that crab over until you're in their path, and
right.
Just don't move, and they'll come and suck that right up. And yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have that kind of bait with me the day I found over 10 of them tailing as I'm getting off the water, freaking out. Why won't I can't hook them up? They're everywhere. And then I had a 2-mile paddle back, so it was, you better get off the water now kind of a thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys will have a good time.
So where do you get your forecast from?
I look in 3 different places. I usually use, like, Windfinder.
Uh-huh.
You would plug in, I plug in Titusville for Windfinder if I'm going up to the Mosquito Lagoon area. Let's see, I do the NOAA forecast, and then the other one is, I think it's WeatherBug.
Yeah.
WeatherBug. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you turn into Beacon 42 right there, there's that big white ball thing there.
Right.
And that's a forecast point there, and it's called Canaveral Seashore.
Mm-hmm.
So they forecast right there. So.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Becker's poking me in the different. Yeah, I don't know, Bill. I don't know how it's so different, man. Because you see
for
that?
Steve.
Yeah, for Steve. Yeah, do you get that, Steve? I think it's better. Hang on, let's try something here. We got. Okay, D, do your screaming reel. I think yours is better.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like an offshore rod, like a surf rod.
It is. It's like a big international.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big international. Yeah.
And we got to get more or some.
He's done. So right. We're going to be calling you, Steve, Saturday morning. We'll call you in the from the water there. We're going to be out on the lagoon. So, yeah, build that Canaveral seashore there. That is a forecasting point right there at Beacon 42. And I don't know why they're different.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the same. The Merritt Island one's just right across from that. So
I know. I know. It's huge, right? Well, and then our experience there at Cedar Key. I mean, it was a little windy there, but and then one time I'll look on Windfinder and it'll show knots, and then the next time you look at it, it's on miles per hour. I don't know. But anyway.
Oh, my God. This is so different than what I saw earlier today. This is awesome.
Did you just click on the Canaveral Seashore one?
I did, and it is nowhere near what I've been seeing with the Merritt Island one and like Cape Canaveral or
The NASA one, Oco, where the big runway
or
is.
The NASA.
Yeah. But that's that comes from the, or at least the reporting point they're showing there, because when you look at the little map, it has red pins and blue pins. And that's a red pin because that's the forecast. That's that weather station right there, that big white ball that's on the left side of the road before you turn into the launch
right.
site. Yeah. So, you know what? I got a stick pin. I got an anchor. I ain't getting blown away. So, I mean, and then actually weather.com was showing anywhere from 5 to 10 mile an hour and then dropping down to about 6 in the afternoon. So.
And that's the other one I use, too. So you kind of just have to weigh it, you know. Everybody has something always different to say, so.
Yeah. You only know when you get out there.
Right.
Yeah. And I ain't stopping, so. Is there
a specific way we got to come in to this?
No, I've gone both ways. I've come in from the north the time we were up in Jacksonville, and then I've come right across the bridge there. Now, I haven't got a chance to talk to Chuck, but Dee, did you have to get like a tag or something to be able to go into the spots? They were supposed to start collecting a fee for the launch sites.
What they're doing is, and I'm not sure if Beacon is on that list, but it is a per vehicle fee, and I don't remember what the fee is, but I think it might be $4 or $5 cash, and they don't have people there collecting. They actually have an honor box, so
really?
You go and you get your envelope, you rip off a tag to put in your car on your windshield. The mirror.
Right.
You put your driver's license, or not your driver's license, your plate number into the envelope and your money and drop it in the honor box.
It's like Atlanta at the parking lots here. There'd be some scruffy guy saying, yeah, that'll work. Give me your $5. I'll go put it in the machine for you.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought it was the greatest thing. The one day I went over to BioLab, which is just before you get to Beacon.
Right.
Off on the Route 3 from the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge Drive.
Yeah.
And there was money in envelopes just sticking out of the deposit box. And I can't believe people didn't go there and grab that money.
But you got you some lunch money that day.
No, I actually, me being the wonderful Girl Scout that I was, I pushed it all down in there and made it drop in.
Oh, right.
You took
the five out of one envelope, put it in yours.
Right. But they have that in a nice anchored down mailbox style thing. I mean, it's a solid square tube and, you know, a nice burn cut in there, and you just drop that money down in there, and it piles up.
Yeah,
you know,
they have them.
People are busy.
They have similar things at the launch sites along the Chattahoochee River up here. In fact, they said that if you had like the one of the Sea America passes or something like that, when I looked at it online, I sent you that link, Bill. It talks about it's $5 a car and Steve actually poked in there in the chat room, said it was $5. Or you could buy an annual permit for $15. And that's the way it is up here at Chattahoochee. They give you a little hang tag for $15.
I think ours is $65.
Really?
But that gets you onto the Canaveral Seashore area, Playa Linda. You can get to all the areas in that whole wildlife refuge area that you would have to pay for normally. So.
Sure. Oh, cool.
There are some back routes that people don't know about.
Yeah, we came out of one day when we were fishing on the south end there down. Chuck called it Biolab, but when we came out, there was like, you need a pass to get through this gate. You know, the gate was open, but we snuck out that way. But
well, you can go out, but you can't get in that way.
Yeah.
So if you know a reverse route, you better haul ass and get... There's a lot of don't enter signs, but if you haul ass, you can get up to your fishing spot before somebody else comes out and...
Yeah, because
hey,
it's one
you're going
lane.
The wrong way. Where's your pass? Yeah.
Right. You know, I don't have a problem paying $5, you know, because it keeps.
No, not
like
at
Chuck
all.
Was saying,
not at
since they got the box there, then there's somebody going to be patrolling there, so it's less likely that there's going to be some knucklehead over there messing with your truck while you're out fishing and stuff.
Well, the problem is with some of these spots is they don't open the gate for you to even get into certain areas until a specific time. So if you want to be on the water at 6:30, 5:30 or whatever, and there's nobody there to take your money and you can't get through and you know the back route, take the back route. Who's going to be coming out at that hour anyway?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, and colors for lures, special, any colors that are nailing them this week?
Anything crustacean colored.
Crustacean
Right, like shrimp colored, crab colored, you know, mash the hatch. They're not hitting mullet unless you're looking for a tarpon or something that you're going to want to have a big mullet colored lure like a, you know, storm lure or something like that.
Right.
For the record,
yeah,
I would be okay with that.
What'd you say, Greg?
I said, for the record, I would be okay with that.
You'd be okay with a big tarpon jumping on your mullet lure?
I would be. I could manage.
Okay.
And, of course, I mentioned the crab for any black drum and whatnot. And then there's also the natural baits if anybody wants to carry a, you know, pack of frozen shrimp. Go for it.
I'm going to get some fresh dead shrimp.
Those drum are going to be there. So, or if you don't mind hauling live shrimp.
Fresh crabs, too. You ever fish with fiddlers or any of those?
I'll do fiddlers for
sheephead.
Yeah. But for drum, no. But I went out with Vicky the other day. And we took blue crab with us, and they just dissed us even on that. So
really?
You never know what. Yeah, I know. And they were beautiful. I wanted to eat them.
Did you peel them and crack them in half?
Yeah, you chunk them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something.
You can use a Leatherman for that, right?
Well,
yeah.
They were cruising. These guys were cruising that day.
Right.
So you're talking about these big fish that look up at you like a dinosaur looks at you like, what the hell are you doing here? And you're in 5 feet of water, and they're on the top of the water, and you're going to throw a crab to make it sink, and you think they're going to come dive down and get the crab. That just didn't happen. You know, they were just doing their thing. And
then
the other day, 2 days ago when I was out there, they were tailing, and I didn't have the proper bait with me, and I think that was the problem, or I did something wrong. I have no idea. So, but I didn't have crab with me that day as far as live bait or frozen bait.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. We're
not cool. I didn't get one.
Oh, no. I was saying cool for us. We're briefed up. We'll know what to do.
Yeah.
And let me jump in and say hey to some folks in the chat room there. You got Aaron and Greg Crisp. See Jim Van Pelt there. Happy birthday, Jim. In fact, we have another birthday in the house, and that's the clone. He turned 13 today. So, Jim, you'll get to meet the clone when we come down. It's amazing how big this kid is, man. He's just growing like a weed. But see Mark Lozier there and VB Javacek. That would be Chris Lozier. Steve Chapman from the Florida Fishing Show, welcome aboard, and the Yak Sushi Man. So, and right there when you said the black drum, Steve Chapman there, he piped in with the black drummer in the river in front of the VAB building. That's the Vertical Assembly Building. So that's
vehicle.
Cool. But then on the
vehicle.
What?
Vehicle.
The big black and white
assembly building.
It's vertical. Because they stand the rocket up in there. Vertical Assembly Building.
Oh, I heard vehicle.
Oh.
Really? Oh, crap. Now I got to look that one up.
Yeah, my last 2 years in the Marine Corps, I was a liaison to NASA.
Well, then I go with you.
Well, I would, but I'm old and may have forgotten things. But anyways, happy birthday to Jim. And we took the clone out every year. He eats sushi all year round, but he has a special restaurant that we take him to for sushi. They make
it is vertical. Sorry.
So, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, we went there right before the Apollo 11 launch, the Apollo 11.
There it says vehicle.
It just depends upon who's writing the Wikipedia. But, yeah. And who else? Oh, did Isaac just pop in there? Yeah, there he is. Isaac the Nothing from the Spike and Ike show. They're in there. Or at least Ike's in there. Spike, I saw him flitting around the web a little earlier. So, shifting gears just a little bit. Bill and Greg are with us tonight. And they had a special event that they participated in last weekend. And I'd like you guys to give us the lowdown and tell us how it went.
You must be talking about the 2012 Tampa Bay Frogman Swim.
That's right. And I was just going to say age before beauty, but
you read your mind.
Go ahead, Bill. You're right. I want to hear all about it.
Yeah, maybe I won't take any pictures of you this weekend.
No good ones anyway.
Yeah, they're all blurry, Chip. Sorry, you didn't make the cut.
No, that
well,
dress is not the
cut. It was the third year of this event, and it was put together by a couple former Navy SEALs to raise money for the Naval Special Warfare Foundation, and it's the families of fallen SEALs. So they swim. It's a 3.1-mile open water swim from the Gandy Beach, which is on the St. Pete side of the bay, and they swim across over to Picnic Island. So they swim, the course goes parallel to the bridge, and then it turns toward Picnic Island, crosses a part of the shipping channel, and ends on the beach. Right there. The first year that they did it, I don't know how many swimmers they had. They didn't have very many. I think they might have had like 30, and it was kind of put together at the last minute, and it was extremely cold. The water was extremely cold. Last year, quite a good number. Water was cold. This year, we had 130-some kayakers. They had more kayakers than swimmers, and the kayakers act as an escort for each swimmer so that, you know, that there's no chance that somebody, you know, if they get in distress, that there's somebody there to help them. So it was quite an event this year. They had, you know, it was some official timing gear, and it was a good deal. So, and they raised a buttload of money. I think they got like over $100,000 for the derby. So that was a good deal.
Wow.
I had a retired Orange County sheriff, and Stuart. He did an hour and I think it was an hour and 25 minutes. So he was a good swimmer. He plugged right along, you know. So, but Mr. Becker had the swimmer, and I'll let him tell you about that.
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in karma. And Bill and I were talking the night before the swim, and I was joking because I like to think that my kayak is pretty quick. It's a 15-foot Altura that has a real slick bottom, and that is just a pleasure to paddle in as a pretty fast boat. And I joked with Bill the night before that, gee, how fast could these swimmers actually be? And maybe I'd have to bring a drag chute just so I didn't run them over. So the next morning, we're standing there in the dark, and they've got the kayaks getting set up in five different sections or waves that they had set up on the beach, marked off by, you know, fire line tape, the yellow fire line tape. And if you were in wave one, you're supposed to put your kayak and stay in wave one and stay there and not cross over. Not all of us followed that very well. And if you hadn't already been assigned a swimmer, or if you weren't teamed up from somebody from the year before, or some swimmers had coaches there that would actually be in their kayaks, if you weren't paired up with somebody, the idea was you stood there and you waited for a swimmer to come over and say, hey, I need an escort. The organizers would pair you up and off you go. Well, I'm standing there, and one of the organizer taps me on the shoulder and said, are you paired up with somebody yet? No, sir, I'm not. Well, you are now. Come on over. And I walk over, and I meet this woman and her daughter. And for the first couple of seconds, I couldn't really tell who the swimmer was until I was introduced to a young lady whose name was Becca, who said she'd be the swimmer. And, you know, we kind of made small talk for a second. I said, oh, so is this your first swim here? Because this is my first time escorting. She said, well, it's my first time here, but I've swum some open water before. Now, think, this girl doesn't look older than 12. How much swimming, you know, like this can she actually have done? And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, maybe I should have brought the drag chute after all, you know? So we talk a little more and say, okay, well, we'll meet after the briefings and just go over what your swim plan is going to be and review the, you know, signaling and all that. Well, she walks away, and another one of the organizers comes over to me and says, so you want to go fast today? And I thought Bill had put him up to it for half a second. I said, well, you know, I hope I'll be able to keep up in my boat. He said, that's good, because that's Becca Mann. She is a world-class open-water swimmer that people are calling the next Diana Nyad, and she'll probably post one of the fastest times on the courses today. Good luck. And he turns and walks away. So I briefly look up into this guy and wonder, you know, what particular gods had heard me make the drag chute comment the night before and were doing this to me. But we get back together and, you know, get out there for the launch. And one of the things that Bill had told me about, and it was a really valuable input, having done this before, was one of the most challenging times is right at the start, where you've got a wave of 20-some-odd swimmers in the water. Everybody's splashing. Everybody's moving. Trying to pick your swimmer out at the very beginning of the launch, the wave launch, is a challenge. And to get the right person, you know, because they're all wearing the same color swim cap. 99% of them are wearing wetsuits, and they all look pretty much the same. So I'm watching, you know, this girl back and forth and back and forth, and they get in the water. And sure enough, as they start out, it's just, you know, feet and butts and elbows and swim caps in a maelstrom of water headed towards the first buoy. But within the first 10 seconds, this little tiny swimmer pulls out to the front of the pack. And back when I was a cop, we used to call that a clue. That was Becca. And she was in a pack of three that led the entire race. She did the 3.1 mile, which is about it's a 5K swim, in 56 minutes and change. Finished less than a couple seconds out from the second place guy and less than 20 seconds, I think it was, or 25 seconds out from the first place male swimmer. She took top in the women's division, was third overall, And I know for certain that in the next coming years, when they make open water swimming an Olympic event, we will see her on a podium with the national colors rising behind her. It was a real pleasure to be able to support her and to stay in contact afterwards. So it was a great time for a great cause. There were a ton of people there who were there supporting the swimmers, but more importantly, supporting the Naval Special Warfare Foundation and doing the right thing for those guys who do so much for us. So it was a pleasure to be there.
Awesome. So, yeah, that karma thing came back at you, man.
Yeah, it bites you sometimes. Sometimes it nips you, and sometimes it just gives you a good square kick. And that was – it's just funny how it comes about.
It does, right? And, I mean, you know, it was relatively painless, but, you know, you knew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Oh. I didn't have a clue when I sent that, you know, when I put the jab back the day. A clue that, you know, you had done anything like that. So, but that's cool, man. That's very cool. You and Bill, good job. And I know Bill had talked about it last year when he'd done it. And it's like, I wish I could have been down there. That's really one of those cool things to be able to do. So, what was the total length of the swim?
3.1 miles. It was 5K.
Wow.
The water temperature in the shallows was about 67 degrees, and when you crossed the channel, what did they say, about dropped to 58?
Yeah, I don't, that's what they said it was, but I don't know. It felt a lot warmer than that. And even, like, my swimmer, he could tell they came across, you know, when we came across the shallows, especially that sandbar, you know, you could tell that it warmed up quite a bit. Last year, it was really cold, and they actually they pulled a couple of people out of the water last year because it was just too cold. They, you know, they couldn't make it. But I don't know anybody that was pulled this year. I think everybody might have made it this year, but I don't know that for a fact.
Very cool. Now, that's,
I know the last guy that finished last did it in 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's a long time to be swimming.
Yeah, that's a long time. I know when we did, you know, when we had to do our swim call, you just want to get it over with, man. You know, that was, yeah, I do it real slow, but then that just drags out, man. It's just get it done, get over it, so... Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. So we'll like to see that kind of stuff, you know. And you guys, how's the Heroes on the Water group going there, Bill?
Very slow.
Yeah.
We have, I think we have a little bit more, a very unique situation here in our VA hospital. And it's I will get into it now because it's there's a lot behind the scenes, and but we're moving forward and we're planning. We have 4 dates coming up, so hopefully this Thursday we'll make some more progress and we'll finally get this thing rolling.
Cool. Yeah, it takes a little bit to get it rolling, but it's still worth it. I really enjoy when we do the thing here in Georgia with the Wounded Warrior Battalions. So it's really good to see those guys get out, you know, and it's like they drop their packs and just have a good time. So it's very rewarding. So
that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And it's just a great way to give back. So, anyways, so that's awesome. All right. Another thing I wanted to talk about with you, all these guys in the chat room and everything. I want and I ask next time you guys do that stuff, man, make sure you get a little recording. You know, we can put it up here, a little sound bite. Talk to them, ask them about that. And then we can post it up here. So, be very cool. Rob, what are you doing over there, man? Have you been fishing? We haven't seen any movies or anything. Did your sabbatical not allow that?
No. I didn't go last weekend because it was my mom's birthday and my grandmother's 94th birthday, so there was a lot of birthday things going on, and so I didn't get to get out on the water, but I'm going going Sunday.
Okay. Sure. And are there people catching fish over there? Have you heard any reports?
Yeah, it's been pretty stellar. The word is the big trout are really going crazy. So we'll see if we can see if that's true on Sunday.
Right.
It's supposed to be a little bit. It's supposed to get cold tonight and into tomorrow, and you know, high of 60. And I think Sunday is going to be a high of 65, 63,
yeah.
65. I don't know. Water temp is holding right around 62 right now, but I imagine it'll probably be under 60 by Sunday.
Right.
So just, you know, I guess.
I think I'm going to be wearing my waders.
Yes, definitely pack your waders. I know I'll have the Farmer Johns on Sunday because I've had the flu this week, and I don't get sick. I haven't had the flu in like 10 years.
Yeah, that's a viral thing, man. It doesn't have anything to do with the water or coldness or anything.
No, I know, but it's it's just uncomfortable when you have a fever and it's cold.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm getting better, slowly
cool.
but surely.
Hope you do, man. You got to be in top prime condition, man, for the boondoggle.
I know it.
Right? I mean, my gosh, man, there's so much going to happen down there. And for those of you listening to the podcast, and if you're one of the guests there in the chat room listening, we speak about boondoggle. We're getting ready to have our third boondoggle, full force boondoggle, but it's our second annual President's Day boondoggle. We're going to be meeting up in Chokoloskee, and we'll be fishing down there. There's quite a few folks planning on joining us. I think when you arrive Friday night, you'll see Bill down there on the little pier going after some sharks. Do you got to chum them up at the pier down there, Bill, or do they just
nope.
You just chuck a bait out?
Throw a bait out.
Yeah. Cool. I think we found a rod to fit that Avet reel there, Greg, that I was telling you about. So we got
oh, nice.
Some, yeah, it's a Fenwick rod that Chuck found. Seems to think it might fit. The problem with it is it's just one of the big clunky reels. It's got that, you know, big single grip handle on it, and it just doesn't feel right. You know, it doesn't feel balanced on most of the rods, and it's got a real big foot on it too. I actually changed the foot out. It had one of those huge reel clamp things on it, and I took that off and called the guys out at Avet, and they sent me a smaller foot, but it's still, if you're like in a small reel seat, it just grabs the ends of it, you know, it doesn't really sit down on it real tight. So let's see. Lozier's saying he left his waders in Virginia, but he's going to be coming down on Sunday to fish with us. So, yeah, I hope you don't need them, man. It's supposed to be warmer Sunday. Saturday's supposed to be the cool morning, so, or the real cool morning. But, anyways. But, well, that's about all I've got. I've got to go down and help out with the birthday cake and finish packing up for in the morning. We're going to get on the road early. We should be in Titusville sometime around 3 o'clock in the afternoon there, 1500 for those of us that do the 24-hour thing. And we'll maybe catch a little trout before it gets dark, and then hopefully meet you guys there, be on the water first light. Sound good?
Yep.
All right.
See ya.
We'll be there. I think it'll be us, and I think there's a couple other locals that might show, but it'll be planning. Miss D, I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you.
And tight lines for wherever we're at there. And we will, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, the Spike and Ike show from, or as they call it, the Fishing the Wild West. And they'll have some info there. We'll probably call in and let them know what we're seeing. Saturday morning, we'll give Steve Chapman a call. I see he's popped out for the evening, but we'll give them a holler and over on Florida Fishing Radio. If, they simulcast live on the internet every Saturday morning. Starts real early and ends about 9. So we'll give them a shout Saturday morning when we get out on the water and let them know what it looks like. Has it been fog in the morning, D? Sorry.
Every place is different, and where you're going, probably yes, but where I'm going,
yeah.
It all depends. I mean, you're going to be more so around mangroves and wetlands than where I'll be, so.
Yeah. I know that made for such a really cool morning last year. Just out there, you know, kind of combat spread and waiting for to see those big reds pushing water out in front of us. So that was very cool. Kind of like that picture that Chad put up on the internet this weekend or just this evening. Did you see that? Speaking of picture on the on Facebook, there was a kid from Texas, and I think it was like a 28-inch trout. Did you happen to see that? Oh, man, it was a monster. That was a huge trout. But anyways, so we're going to call it an evening, folks. Bill, Greg, we'll see you guys Saturday morning. Rob, glad to have you aboard tonight. Hope to see you sooner, but if not, later, we'll see you in Chokoleski for the boondoggle. And right. Dee, say again.
I said all right. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks for joining us tonight, Dee. Thank you for joining us. Always appreciate it. Great information, and we'll see you next week. And that'll about do it for tonight. Thanks, Aaron and Greg Crisp. Hope you stay warm up there. Mr. Lozier and Chris, you guys doing a great job there on Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. They're our new hosts. Join them at 8 on Tuesdays for the Double L crew. And we'll see everyone next week. We'll be out of here with... Where's my music? Here we go. Good night, all. Tight lines. Take a kid fishing.